Juicebox is one of those special shows that you can't have anyone but adults listening to. So, okay, we're going to be having a very special show tonight because the Burly's not working, and we basically are going to be ad-libbing for the hour. And I think the first thing we have to do is make sure to tell you that it's adults only. So if you're tuning in, make sure you're 18 or over, and otherwise shut the radio off.
And like, if not, don't tell your parents.
Like, as if you're going to shut the radio off. You know, it's just, I don't know what these advisors are, but they're so ridiculous. But that's part of the deal. Okay, what else? We have a fabulous song that talks about Juicebox and how we're a sex show and we're into relational sexual health. What else? I don't know. You've landed, and we've landed, and it's and 5 minutes past eight, and we're just starting the show a little bit late tonight. Mm-hmm. And this is CITR 101.9 FM, and we are fresh and live in Vancouver, BC, on this cold, rainy, windy night tonight. Scary out there, very scary out there. And maybe you're checking out our podcast. I don't know. Maybe you're listening online live right now. Anyway, we're glad you're here. Caroline and I made it out, as we are such dedicated radio hosts.
We are completely dedicated.
We're such dedicated radio hosts. I can't believe it. It's our 115th show tonight. Not that that's any kind of special thing, but if you want to call in and let us know how much you love our show, that would be great, because we're kind of lonely in here.
And you can send us presents as well, if you'd like.
Yes, and that's to the
fan mail.
Yeah, fan mail. Flame mail. We love that shit, too. Why not? Tell us how shitty you think we are. That'd be great, too. But call in at 822-2487, 604-822-2487, and we are on live at the moment. Pick our brains. We're brilliant. We're brilliant. So tonight we're talking about our third installment on cyber sex and online dating. And the reason we're making it a third installment is because the last two times we tried to cover our material that we worked so hard to produce, we've had some fabulous callers call in and spend the hour with us, so we didn't get a chance to get at the material. So really, I want to talk a little bit about the internet and cyber sex. We're going to talk about online dating. We're also, if we have time, Caroline's going to be sharing some of her
my scary stories, and they are tried and true.
Yes, and they're very good ones. So for all those people who are considering the online dating world and or just the, I don't know, like
just really bad dates, you can call in and tell us your scary
dates.
Stories.
Yeah. And then we're also going to be talking about the consequences of cybersex and cybersex addiction, mm-hmm. which is a really serious problem right now. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and where you can get help. And then we had this really cool article that my boy Dan in Seattle sent up to us on from Forbes.com on sex doing the body good, and that regular romps can provide a host of physiological, and I might argue, emotional, spiritual, and other benefits as well. So we're going to get to that later on in the show if Caroline and I stay on target. Sometimes we get to rambling, as you know. So
our ramblings usually tend to be pretty good, and I think our listeners do like them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all good. I'm just saying if we get into our content and we get into our chat and we don't have time to talk about the physiological benefits of romping regularly, then we'll do it next time, we promise. So, and actually, I think next week we have a guest. We have a guest next week. Christopher Scipio, is going to be on Juicebox next week talking about herpes and natural remedies and also aphrodisiacs. And he's a very brilliant bush doctor. We have had him on Juicebox a few times. I think he's got some new developments. But more importantly, I wanted Caroline and I to do our own special kind of interviewing of this very sexy bush doctor. And mostly just wanted to see him again, actually. But, yeah.
Well, so he actually does recommend in one of his blogs about, in regards that romping is really good, and it's really good for reducing outbreaks. because it makes your body happy and reduces your stress.
Right.
So hence, you don't have as many outbreaks since he specializes in herpes.
That's right, yeah. And he's brilliant. And he's very out about his herpes, which I think is admirable. Mm-hmm. And we all should be, if you have it. You should be telling people you have it before you engage in any kind of oral or, vaginal, whatever, anal sex. You should make sure you tell your partners about that first so they can make an informed decision on whether they want to engage, go down that road with you. Anyway, so I'm very proud of him because there's so much.
There's just so much, and it's really good to
get, the culture just gives people a hard time. There's so much taboo around it, and it's got all this stigma around
it. Yes.
And it's really bullshit because, like, 2/3 of the population has herpes, but we're going to talk about that next time. I want to talk a little bit about cybersex, which is any form of sexual expression which is accessed through the computer or the internet. And it's now a major, major industry. I'm sure most of you know, you spend any time on the internet, there's sex all over the place. Currently, over 60% of all visits on the net involve a sexual purpose. That is huge.
60%?
60% of all visits involve a sexual purpose.
Wow.
And I'm actually quite surprised.
I'm surprised, too.
It seems super high.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently that's what most people are on the net about. So, I'm sure, almost every single person I know gets on the net at some point. And, it doesn't matter if you're in a developing country or not. People are still using the net all the time. So, if you think about it, if every single person is using the net for something,
mm-hmm.
I would think that, at least half of it's going to be sexual stuff or dating or whatever. So it's huge. And anyway,
or pop-ups.
Pop-ups, yeah,
porn
maybe pop-ups. Maybe that's where they're getting their research from, whoever these people are. But sex can also be like downloading pornography, but it also can be, writing or reading sexually explicit letters and stories. It can be emailing to set up personal meetings with somebody. That all is in under the cybersex umbrella. Placing ads to meet partners, visiting sexually oriented chat rooms, all that kind of stuff. Online affairs. There's lots of camera hookups now. You can go and spy on people or whatever. pay to watch people masturbate or whatever the case may be. And the thing that I'm kind of concerned with is the cybersex with the adolescents and the kids, because they're interested and intrigued, like they're 12 years old, and they get on because they're just kind of interested, mm-hmm. and they're sort of exploring their sexual parts and their being and all that, and then they know that it's a safe place to play in their minds. It's the safest sex you can have is cybersex, pretty much, kind
Definitely.
Of thing. You're not going to get any STIs or pregnancy from that. Emotional, mental, trauma can still happen, though.
Definitely.
And then there can be stalkers. But these kids get off of these things, and then, they're on the line talking about being 19 and all this stuff, and they're signing on to these things because there's no way to control that, really.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting enticed into really seriously brutal situations. So there's lots of things that are kind of dangerous about it. I think we know about that. But I think for most cybersex users, the net provides this fascinating new venue for experiencing sex in ways that you normally would not feel safe to do. But you know what? Almost 10% become hooked, and they experience serious life problems as a result of that, which is what we're going to talk about later in the show, what happens and what you can do about being hooked on cybersex.
And we heard a little bit about that the other day when we were talking to the Red Light Center people, where they're mentioning like 10 hours online, which is quite a bit.
That's crazy.
And
I think
so too, even though they said it's really great to meet people. And they do have a New Year's event coming up, which we should mention later on.
At Mini Yale Town down in Vancouver, they're doing the first largest online party. They're going to have a real party in Yale Town, then they're going to be online in Red Light Center, and then a couple other places are going to be having the party broadcasted, and it's going to be internationally broadcasted with the avatars partying and dancing.
The dancing again.
Yes. And other performances, and then they're going to be having the real life people in the party doing that as
Which
well.
Which I am glad that they're actually having real life where people actually get to meet in person. Mm-hmm. Which I think is a really, really good thing.
Yeah, piece that seems to be missing a little bit from the cyber world.
It does, and I worry about that sometimes.
Mm-hmm, I do.
But at the same time, I think that's why there are a lot of social networking clubs in Vancouver. For example, the Social Empire, Urban Mix, or even Campo Verde, which Rachel Greenfeld, who actually went to McGee with us, actually. She grew up in Kerrisdale.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you know her, but she runs Campo Verde. But just to have other areas for people to network and meet different people. Not for cyber sex, but to network, definitely.
But networking. Do you think the cyber world really helps with that, though? Like, I wonder, you know, these social networking clubs, these dating clubs, these kind of places to meet and things like that, and speed dating and all that. Like, do you think...
I think the fact that they're meeting in real life, I think it's important. The thing with meeting...
Why is that important, do you think, Caroline?
Well, you decide whether or not you like somebody within the first 10 seconds you walk through the door. So if
And you can't do that. You're just not... No. The written word, as beautiful as it is, and succinct and wonderful, I love it. You know, you can have it in your mind. You're imagining that there's this incredible person over there that's writing these words. And
he may be this short, fat, hairy, bold thing, which is sexy if you're into that. But if you thought it was like a 6'4", strapping, sexy thing.
But there's also like just the pheromones. There's actually the hormones, the pheromones, the chemicals that are involved in our physiological bodies that you cannot ever check in with.
No, and
until you meet
language.
Somebody, you just cannot find that. Whether it's the sparkle in the eye, the arch of the eyebrow, the combination of like the hair and lip color, whatever it might be that attracts you to a person, you know, you can't get that.
No, not even
from
a webcam.
A picture a lot of times, you know, it's like a picture doesn't even do it justice. It's a chemical thing.
It is.
And so I think Caroline and I talked about that the last couple of times too. And we're trying to get this message across to people that if you're gonna do the cyber thing and the online thing, make a point of meeting each other, unless you just want to have a cyber relationship, and then you're clear about that. You communicate those boundaries and those intentions, and then you stick to that, right? If you're doing it because you don't have the courage to go out and actually interact with somebody, then you might be going down the wrong road, or maybe you're practicing a bit, you know, online. But then
you should take it out in the real life.
Exactly.
You know, give them a call for Social Empire and actually meet people in real life. Don't waste your time.
Social Empire place. I'm not hearing about this. What is this?
Oh, well, what they do is they actually, once a month, they actually have business professionals where they take different restaurants, and from about 5 to 9, everybody gets together and meet up and just mingle, and it's a good excuse for that. So it's really, really good.
We should check it out, Caroline.
We should definitely check it out.
Maybe we should advertise that we're going to do that and see if any of our fans will show up.
Actually, that might be kind of cool, Julia.
So, okay, so you know, what about your online dating? Have you done any of this, or like?
I have done some.
Okay,
some of it's been really, really good. Some of it has been particularly very, very, very scary.
Okay, well, let's hear about a few good things, and let's hear about a few bad things. Now, I think that last time we talked about you've got these rules.
Mm-hmm.
Did we talk about like drug free? You know. Communicating about violence, like what you said some things. So do you want to run a little bit about that, or do we want to?
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit about it. I followed the Love Life rules of not talking too much online and meeting them right away. And the one I met was a personal trainer, really good-looking guy. Spent the whole time bragging about how good-looking he was as he picked me up.
Great.
And how he's so good-looking, he should have a website so people could pay to look at him because he was that hot.
Narcissism is the biggest problem that we're having in our current dating situation in Vancouver, I find, and in a lot of places in North America. People are so narcissistic. Anyway, okay.
Then we went for a swim. Afterwards, he pulled out his...
Wow, you're courageous. Going for a swim on your first date, dude?
I want to see what they look like in a bathing suit.
I wouldn't want them seeing me in a bathing suit. That's the main thing.
I'm all there to show it all off.
Well, you've got the hot body, honey. You're the one who's the pole dancer, okay? So
yeah, but you're a yoga guru, girl, who can bend all different ways, which is pretty hot in itself.
Yeah, I've been realizing I have some special talents I didn't realize I had. Because Dan, my current boyfriend, was saying how he was like, you're so bendy and I could do all these things. And I was like, yeah, well, maybe we should check it. We've been doing some pretty crazy stuff, and it's totally... pretty hot. And I don't think I ever tried it because I don't think I was this bendy before or something.
Nice.
I don't know, but
I think that could be worth the full show on.
There's some
too bad we don't have a webcam in here because I could demonstrate how to have sex in the splits. Well, maybe not.
Well, you're pretty amazing. We did this photo shoot last week. Oh my God, this is all about us, isn't it?
Talk about narcissistic.
Here we go. And you just did the splits right in front of the cameraman. Oh, I was really impressed. I was just like, wow, yeah, you're amazing. Okay, so anyway, cyber dating. I mean, online dating and
online
business.
Dating,
yeah.
Meeting them in life.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, he showed me his shorts and he had a pocket on the inside where he told me it was to hide secret things in case the police came. And so I asked him, so do you do drugs? Oh, I can't tell you those things. I don't know you well enough. But by the way, I'd really like to go out with you again, but I have to go and get fingerprinted later on this week.
Oh my God, he was seriously.
He was totally serious. He had beaten up a tow truck driver's truck and smashed it up because of the fact that.
Keep your voice down there. It's okay. You're popping your peas, baby.
And I'm popping my peas.
Yeah, you're good now. So, yeah, what?
Oh, he'd actually smashed a tow truck driver's truck, and he had to go in and get fingerprinted for assault.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sitting
there. So he's a bit violent, then.
Oh, he was totally violent.
Violent, maybe a drug user, and...
And a drug user. And he was really, really cold, which made me think that I don't know what type of drugs he was on, but he was definitely on something. It was 25 degrees out, and he put on his leather jacket on his bare chest and started shivering.
Oh, wow.
It was very entertaining.
Interesting.
And then told me that he thought it was really cool that I wrote a dating column, because this is what I was doing at the time, because he dated another dating columnist, which I won't mention her name, in the city, and started telling me what a bitch and a cunt she was.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Which, you know, you don't bash your exes.
Yeah.
Not a kosher thing to do.
Yeah, you don't bash your exes, for one. Really important. Anybody out there who's dating, don't do that, because it's just, you know, people think automatically, well, what are you going to say about me, you know?
Exactly.
And what kind of vindictive person are you? But also, like, when you're talking about somebody who's in the same business as you, it'd be like somebody dissing some sex educator.
Exactly.
Who, it's a very small crowd of sex educators in the city. If somebody started to diss one of them, I'd be like, excuse me? That's like my coworker, pretty much like my coworker, right?
Exactly. It's a family.
Yeah. So you don't...
No, you definitely don't bash them.
Thick between the ears, that one. So anyway...
And then he told me he was threatening her. He was going to sue her for... health reasons, which made me wonder, is it herpes or is it HIV or is it something a lot worse like hepatitis C?
Wow. Okay.
Unfortunately, another rule is if you don't leave your bag in the back seat of their car, so you have to go back to their car. So we got in the car and decided to go for a coffee. By this point, I was enjoying myself because I found it very amusing, and it was good fodder for my column.
I was going to say fodder for your column. Yep.
And so he started driving on the other side of the road. So he was crossing oncoming traffic, and we passed this Chinese driver with children in the back seat, and he started jabbering, and I was just like, oh my goodness, I'm half Chinese. And he was just like, no, I'm so sorry, like this. And we got to the restaurant. And on the way to the restaurant, he started bragging about how he's so good looking. He always gets things for free. People give him free stuff all the time. And I was like, oh, really? And he said, yeah. So we go up and he's like, okay, you order first. And I ordered a coffee and a cupcake. And he's like, oh, baby, I can lick that all off you. And I just looked at him and smiled, saying, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And from there, he started screaming at the clerk because they didn't have the type of cupcake I wanted. I'm really good looking. You have to give it to me for free. You have to give me something.
Okay, this guy sounds like a total freak. Okay. Okay, this is a freak situation,
I think.
It
was a very freak situation.
But it was good
was very good for the column.
Was there another man that maybe worked out somewhat good in the beginning or and then?
There was the married one.
Oh, so he lied about being married.
This is a different one.
Oh, right.
Which was very entertaining, and his wife ended up emailing me, which was quite joyous.
Oh, gosh.
Telling me that, by the way, you're emailing my husband.
Oh, I've had that happen once before, yeah, where I was dating a guy, and that happened, and I met her. I met both the women that I found out. I was dating one and having sex with him for a while, and then I found out that he had a wife. So I've actually hunted his wife down to tell her and to meet her.
Wow.
And she didn't take it very well at all. She was really pissed off at me. But the other woman, she did the same thing with the emailing, and I just emailed her right back. It's like, oh, my God, so sorry about this. What a snake, blah, blah, blah. This is what we've done. This is what he told me. He's probably doing this with other women, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, I said, I'm happy to testify in court against him if you want me to. She was very happy. And they ended up getting a divorce, and she got, you know, everything and
good.
All that. And I think, you know what? I'm all for polyamory. I'm all for open relationships, swinging, whatever you want to do.
Just be honest
with your partner about it, right? It's like, if you don't want to be monogamous, just be honest, right? And if you're going to lie and cheat, then you deserve to get sued and divorced and whatever else happens to you, you know? We need to start to figure this out. It's like honesty is the best way to live our lives, and it's the easiest way to live our lives. And yes, it's hard in the moment, and yes, it takes a lot of courage in the moment, but you know, life is really easy if you're honest. You know, life becomes simple because you don't have to try to backtrack and hide things, and which I think some people get really addicted to. I think some people are really interested in doing that kind of weird predator, trying to get away with things, the challenge of manipulation, all that stuff. I think some people really get off on that. because they don't have enough important things to do in their lives. But anyway, all right.
I think they enjoyed the drama. There was one other one I did date that was quite nice, and this is another rule. Make sure you're feeling well before you go on a date. Do not be gassy.
You're not feeling well right now, Caroline? Oh, I know. She went on a little date tonight, and she wasn't feeling well. And she's probably you're probably happy that you had this as an excuse to come to.
I did.
I gotta go. I really have to run.
No, but with that, just make sure if you're not feeling well to leave. I had one where the man actually was so gassy, but they were the silent but deadly kind.
Oh, great.
And it was very stenchy.
I had a situation happen where this guy G-holed on me, and I didn't know what he was taking or anything. I didn't know anything about GHB. I didn't know anything about the drug, and I didn't know what was going on. And we were in this hotel suite, and it was like our first time to be having sex, and I think I was still kind of at home, I think, or something. So we got a hotel, and he's like talking about how he was on some kind of herbs or something for his, you know, pills or some kind of treatment for his for weightlifting. Well, that's what GHB used to be about, was weightlifting. I found out later.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what originally it was brought for. It's just an amino acid.
Okay.
But if you take enough of it, it makes you high and makes you feel drunk and stuff, and then eventually it can kill you if you take too much. But anyway, this guy took that middle ground of where he G-holed, and he was peeing all over the bed and making all kinds of noises and like writhing around. And I was... Needless to say, I left the hotels. But, you know, he could have easily died without me. I didn't know what was wrong with him. I just freaked out. So if you're going to be on drugs, I think you should also tell your date that you're on drugs.
Definitely.
So that they can do something about it if you start to piss the bed or, like, do something wacko, like poo the bed or whatever. Anyway.
No, that would be very, very, very scary.
Oh, my God. How did we go down this terrible road? All right. Well, what do you think? Anything else? Any other little stories you can share with us before we take our little break? Because we're going to talk about cyber sex addiction after.
I do have a few, actually.
Okay,
this one isn't one of mine that I've experienced.
Uh-huh.
If you are going to get together for an intimate encounter, I do have a friend who met somebody offline who met them in person, and they met for the purpose of having anal sex. Basically, he had to replace his bed because she shit all over his bed because she didn't make sure she had gone to the bathroom first.
I've recently learned a new technique about how to clear your anus out.
Really?
Yes, and I won't share where I got it from, but because I'm sure he's listening.
Do tell.
But basically, it's like this tube that you put in the on the bathtub. And I think you have to be very careful because you can perforate your anus and your rectum really easily and your bowel. So I don't actually recommend it so much except for if you have the water on not very strong.
Okay.
So just like a trickle of water where
so
it kind of...
mini enema?
So it's kind of like a mini enema, home enema. But basically it's like a little bucket to catch the big poo in. And you basically have this little tube attached to the tap of the bathtub. You get in there, you crouch over it,
right,
and you stick the little other part into your bum hole. And you basically, all you have to do is press it kind of hard against your anus. And,
really?
And with the water will eventually come through into your rectum. And then you just take it off. Like, so you just hold it on there until you kind of feel like you got some water in you, which wouldn't take very long, maybe a few seconds. And then you basically take it off and it'll poo into the bucket. Which you can then dump into the toilet, right?
Yeah.
Then you add another thing into the water. You press the water against your anus again, and it kind of puts the water inside your rectum again. And then, you know, more poo will come out and everything, and you put that into the toilet beside you. So, you know, it was a very effective way to go about it. And if you want to have some anal play, I recommend that you do a little bit of this cleaning. I think it's a good way so then the poo doesn't happen.
That's...
You don't have it all over the place. And because I think a lot of people start to worry, like, you know, you, it starts to feel good. Somebody sticks their finger in and starts tonguing you. You tend to start to fart. Like, if you get rimmed, you know, you'll start farting, or you'll feel like you got a fart or poo or something. And if they start fingering you, again, you're going to start to poo. And it's just not very romantic, unless you're into scat play, which some people are. But I think most of us aren't. And we kind of avoid anal play because we've got, you know, all this dirtiness and this smell and the mess and everything. So it seemed to work really well. I thought, it was a good idea. And
that's better than the colon cleanse that we tried before.
Did you try colon cleanse?
Yes. The colon cleanse, you actually, you put salt in about, I'm trying to remember how much water. I'd actually have to look at the recipe.
Yeah, parts of salt for saline water.
And then you do all these yogic stretches. A girlfriend of mine got this from India. So she, her mother, and I decided to do this before she was getting together with her boyfriend that night to do everything.
And your mother and...
Not your mother.
Sorry, her mother and you and her. You guys ended up doing an enema with each other?
Basically, were you drinking? You drink the water.
Okay,
and,
yeah,
because it's got salt water,
it goes straight through.
And eventually, after about an hour and a half, you're actually shitting clear water. And it was quite
more cleaned
scary.
Up than that.
Oh, yeah, because you're coming back, and it was like, hey, guess what? It's muddy brown now. Hey, what color's yours now? And then finally, my friend, I won't mention her name, you know her, was just like, you realize what we're talking about, don't you? And it's like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well.
Bodily function.
I think if you're going to have anal sex or anal play, it's probably a really good way
to
go.
It's a safe way to go.
And it helps reduce, you know, BV for the vagina and just other issues that can happen, you know, with poo.
I love how you say it like that, darling.
Well, it's just, I don't know. I'm trying to get into the anal. It's just hard. It's just kind of...
Anal's all right sometimes.
I don't mind a little bit of tonguing and some fingering, but that's about as far as I go. I tried to put a dildo in the other day, like I have this little thing that I use, a G-spot stimulator that it's silicone, so I boil it. Don't worry, everybody. And and I stuck it in my bum, and I just really didn't enjoy it. I tried, and it was just kind of like I wasn't, you know, and I thought... I don't know if I'm just such of an anal girl. I mean,
if you're stimulated both ways, sometimes it's kind of nice.
Well,
and if it's not a particularly well-endowed partner,
it was, and he is. And
oh, okay. If it's not particularly well-endowed and they're using the fingers on the other side, can be really nice. I had one ex that was about 5'8", but his wingspan from fingertip to fingertip was 6'1".
Caroline, on your details. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, his hands were extra long.
This has been
very good.
This has been a random half hour. Okay, so... should we take a short break?
I think we should take a short break.
Yes. And we do welcome your calls at this time. It'd be much easier for us to take your calls when we're on our break. And please call in with your questions or comments on our
or your
random show
about bad dates and cyber dating and cyber sex.
And also
and online.
And online dating. And then also if you have some scat play that you'd like to share with us since we're on that topic. And get yourself on Podcast Forever. God, I hope my parents never listen to this stuff. Call in at 822-2487. That's UBC 6604, UBC CITR. And yes, you are listening to Vancouver's CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You are in Juice Box, and we'll be right back.
You reach the sky.
You are back in Juicebox. Thanks for listening. Tonight we're talking about cybersexuality, a little bit of anal play, animas, and dating. If you missed the first half of the show, you can get it on podcast by checking out Juicebox Radio or CITR.ca after the show.
Yeah, and actually we're supposed to do an advisory as well.
Oh, yes.
Juicebox is for adult listeners. Listener discretion is advised. This is why I use the recorded things. What else? Oh, and a PSA. We don't have a PSA. So could we think of a PSA? Because they used to have a PSA book here, and now they don't. And
oh, I know. I can do one for Beauty Night.
Okay, Beauty Night, yes.
Caroline is a volunteer in a drop-in center at the downtown east side. Some of these women are drug users or homeless or just come in because they want to talk. For these women, Caroline created Beauty Night. They were a place for them to go to get a makeover, a chance to rest, a chance to talk, and not feel so isolated in every day. Beauty Night. BeautyNight.org.
Perfect. Okay. Because that is. Yeah,
that's
a PSA. And it is a nonprofit.
It is. It's actually a registered charity now.
A registered charity. Congratulations.
It was our anniversary on Friday.
An amazing charity it is. 6 years. I know. Uh-huh. You've been slogging that, honey. You're amazing. So now, during the break, I'm looking outside at the window here, because during the break, Caroline took off her shirt, and she's wearing her beautiful red bra.
Thank
and,
you, darling.
We're going to talk a little bit about cybersex and sexual addiction now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do like to make it a mandate on Juicebox to cover the good and the bad parts about sexuality. And addiction is one of the not-so-good parts. And I actually get a lot of calls, a lot of people interested in finding out what's going on here? Have you got page 3 there, babe? Finding out about, am I addicted? Like, that's people's questions are often, am I addicted? And I like to tell people, well, no, you're not. And, sorry, we're just, it's one of those shows. Because unless you're addicted, if you're doing something, well, we'll talk a little bit about it. Okay, I'm gonna try to stay on target here.
All right.
Okay.
Should I get out my whip?
Yes.
Or do you need it for me?
Yes. Yes, you've been a bad girl.
I need to be punished.
For those that are hooked on cybersex, the negative consequences can be actually divided broadly into two categories. Those resulting from the many hours, and Caroline talked about that earlier in the show, many hours that users spend on the internet, and those who specifically relate to the sexual content of the user's activity. So there's two broad areas, those who spend way too much time on it, and those who actually have issues with, like, the things that they're doing are unhealthy.
And the user's life sometimes becomes constricted and lonely. A lot of the hours are spent alone with the computer, believing that this fantasy world, whether it's through cybersex or just even like one of those SimCity type of games online, where after a while you start believing it's real, having weddings online to people you haven't met. sorry.
And doing things like
dancing
in at great length
for like 10 hours at a time
and not actually moving your body really that much.
No, you're going to look like ET after a couple million years.
So you know, well, I think for a lot of people, their real life friendships and their social contacts tend to fall away.
It does.
Because it's so much easier to be in relationship online. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier. You can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want.
You can be whoever you want.
If things start to get a little bit difficult, you pray escape. I mean,
and create a new avatar.
Exactly. So it's a much different world. But if the user is married or in a relationship, the partner can feel lonely, ignored, unimportant, neglected, or angry because the user prefers to spend so much time on the net rather than with the partner and family. And that is something I've heard from so many of my friends, men and women, complaining mm-hmm. about their partners being on the internet so much. And children can be neglected or ignored, which is actually more dangerous and more consequential to children than being abused. So neglecting a child is more detrimental to their overall health and well-being than even being hit and abused is. So really it is something to avoid at all costs.
It is.
Do not ignore your children.
No, definitely not.
Do not neglect them.
And that includes television actually as well.
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw that in there as well.
Yeah.
But consequences that result specifically from the sexual nature of the computer use.
So this is the first part was about people that spend too much time, and these are sort of signs of what happens when you spend too much time on the net. This is what happens. And now I was saying the other camp, yeah.
And this is if you...
And sexual nature stuff.
Sexual nature stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So with this... And if online sex leads to real life encounters, the user risks acquiring HIV or other sexually transmitted diseases.
Infections, yeah.
So, which may not be a bad idea just to keep it online for certain things.
Mm-hmm. Well, if the user downloads internet pornography on the work computer or they engage in cyber sex on the job, they risk their job loss. That can happen a lot.
And cyber sex participants who engage in sex with minors risk arrest and imprisonment.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone under 14. And that's just in Canada, by the way. Many users lie repeatedly about their sexual activities, and in response, their partners are going to feel distrust and betrayal, which is another consequence of cyber sex.
And there's a huge devastating emotional impact of a cyber sex affair, which can be just as bad and just as devastating as a real life affair. And some of cyber sex users have had real life affairs. Actually, I believe it was 18% in that in that study, and I'm just trying to remember if it was MSN.com. I think it was.
Probably.
That said that 18% of the users who use online dating sites and sex sites.
So I think, you know, cyber sex activities that are considered particularly destructive is that they either took place right in the home or that they were so time consuming. So, you know, the partner that is affected is obviously going to, you know, their self-esteem is going to be damaged. There's going to be all these strong feelings of hurt, betrayal, abandonment, loneliness, shame, isolation, all these things, which are going to have a detrimental effect. And the couple's sexual relationship is also going to suffer.
Because the user stays up all night.
For example, yeah. And then, and also because the spouse, or and often the user, compares her body and her sexual performance to that of the online men and women, her or his, and believes that she or he can't measure up, and or the user or partner loses interest in having sex with each other because the fantasy is so much more intriguing and interesting.
And many couples haven't had no relational sex in months or years.
Yeah, people that are addicted to cyber sex for sure. I mean, online sexual activities can be followed by physical contact with others, but the partner may also retaliate or seek solace in extramarital affairs. So really there's this circle of like abuse and mistreating each other, and you know, children,
if they find it online, if they go on to go and play a game and they become exposed to the pornography, they may develop unhealthy attitudes towards sex and women.
Yeah, so there's a host of issues that can happen, but you know what? Help is available. And cyber sex users who haven't lost control of their internet involvement can benefit from counseling, which helps them to set limits on their computer use and restore balance to their lives. And there's also, you know, for people that are doing content issues and things like that, there's cybersexaddiction.com for help, and I highly recommend that you Google if you are one of those people who's kind of questioning whether or not you have a healthy relationship with your cyber sex or with your online dating world. Just Google, you know, cybersexual addiction or sexual addiction, and get some help out there. There's lots of free help too, so that works out well. Now,
and if you're using it in a balanced way, because I know in the last couple of weeks that we've touched on cyber sex, we've heard the good and the bad in regards to that. It's good sometimes to get some ideas of stuff you might want to try with a partner, or show it to them in a safe way, maybe sharing it with them, where maybe downloading some pornography and actually watching it with your partner online, where it's like, well, I think it's good, where it's like, honey, this would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean,
it's kind of like reading penthouse letters, but in 3D.
Yeah,
kind of, sort of.
And I think you can also get, like, there's lots of really good sex education out there too, online, and you know, telling you how to do things and how to do them well, and with video and all that stuff. So
video's great. Nina Hartley's wonderful. I don't know if she's got anything online, but she's a huge favorite. She's got some good things in there.
Cool. Now we have about 15 minutes left on the show, not a long time, but Caroline and I are going to talk a little bit now about what that sex does the body good, and that regular romps can provide a host of physiological benefits. But we're going to do some more research on it another time and do another show on it, maybe in the new year.
What we can talk about, though, is some of our bad dates we've had in the past.
Oh, you would rather do that, honey?
If you'd like.
Okay, I just want. I know that the listeners are probably kind of curious, so I just want to let people know. I mean, if you're abstinent, that doesn't mean that you have to be sexless. You can still masturbate. And sexual expression is very healthy, but it's like you don't have to have a partner. You can also get the physiological benefits of having sex by masturbating. And I'm not just talking about whacking off really fast to get off. I'm talking about doing a long language session with yourself, perhaps in front of a mirror, really truly making love to yourself. Mm. I know you hate that comment, the making love part, but...
it is my pet peeve, unless you're actually in love with somebody using the term making love.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about just quickly some physiological stuff, just so people know, and then let's get back to some of the dating stories that we have. And then we're going to do a longer one about this. But there's a very credible studies that have been done over the years, and basically, sex does do the body good. I mean, there are physiological benefits, emotional benefits, mental benefits, very important. And honestly, I'm a huge advocate for healthy sexual expression over your lifetime because it does things like improves your sense of smell. I mean, the brain stem cells start to affect the olfactory bulbs in your smell center, so it helps your smell. It reduces your risk of heart disease. So three or more times a week, men reduce their risk of heart attack in this study, particular study, 2001.
That should be great.
There's weight loss, overall fitness, obviously very huge core muscles involved with doing any kind of sexual vigorous stuff. So you're going to lose, you know, you're going to burn like 200 calories. I mean, it's the same as running 15 minutes on a treadmill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds pretty good to me. Now,
much more fun than running on the treadmill.
I thought this one was pretty funny. British researchers have determined that the equivalent of 6 Big Macs can be worked off by having sex 3 times a week for a year.
Nice.
But I think like 6 Big Macs, that's like probably about 10,000 calories. So,
and that's
then,
really scary.
So if you're having sex 3 times a week for a year, that means you once a year you go and have your 6 Big Macs. I mean, I just... why with these facts? They're just ridiculous. Like who cares? And who would ever do that? I mean... Who would compare these things? This, the British would do something like that, I suppose. I don't know.
I suppose. Or maybe that guy who did that. What was that movie about McDonald's and all the bad things it does to your body?
Oh, God. Yeah. Supersize it or something.
Thank you. Yeah.
Anyway, so, but it does raise your pulse rate. It is good for weight loss. It is good for overall fitness. It does reduce heart disease. But the things that I really like is that it's also really helps to reduce depression. And that's because... the chemicals involved in having orgasms and experiencing pleasure, it's endorphins.
Endorphins make you happy, and happy people don't go around doing bad things.
And actually, oxytocin gets released when you have an orgasm. And so in oxytocin, there's a huge amount of the chemical precursors that get serotonin involved. So you actually get the afterburn, and it's pretty hot stuff.
Pain relief immediately after the orgasm. It's really, really, really good.
Oxytocin again. It's like that
five times the normal level.
Mm-hmm. And that the endorphins happen there. It helps migraines. It helps headaches. It helps you if you have if you're having bad PMS. It also prompts estrogen production and testosterone production. So those hormones that increase our vitality are you know, the elixir of life, mm-hmm. kind of thing for men and for women. So a very good thing to have. And again, you can do these things with your own private masturbation. It doesn't have to be involved. I think you get more benefit from involving yourself with another human because there's... an exchange of fluids and chemistry that's
just good. Human contact in mm-hmm. general is babies, really beneficial.
Exactly. Babies die without being touched. Right?
And if you get 10 hugs a day, you live up to 12 years longer.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's actually really,
more.
Really beneficial. I'll have to give you a hug, darling.
Yes. And then, of course, because your immune system is raised, you're going to get less frequent colds and flu. It obviously is going to boost your immune system. I mean, they are saying... that individuals who have sex once or twice a week show a 30% higher levels of an antibody, which is called immune globulin A, which you take to go when you're going to travel. You just get an immune globulin A shot. I got one done when I went to Thailand for 6 weeks many years ago, and I was totally healthy the whole time. It was fine.
And it's better for bladder control.
Yeah.
You know, your Kegels just clench. I'm doing them right now.
I'm doing mine right now,
too. And nobody else can tell.
That's right. And actually, those are the same muscles that work during sex, during orgasm, and the Kegels. I wish there was a better word because it's just some white German guy who created it, Dr. Kegel, and, you know, discovered the pubococcyx muscle and the pelvic floor, which is what you engage to stop your pee, which is mm-hmm. what happens when you orgasm. Those all contract. And, the Kegel exercises. So, can we come up with another word? We've got to.
We do. I think this is really funny, this one. Better teeth, considering it's a British study.
Yes, well, they need all the help they can get, don't they?
They do. But they should be having more sex.
Well, the seminal plasma, which I think is hilarious, is actually so... So we were talking about swallowing, and a lot of the girls I do sex ed for, you know, they're always asking me, you know, is semen bad for you? Like, can I drink the ejaculate? What's in it? And apparently it contains zinc, calcium, and other minerals, which hinder tooth decay. I think that's pretty funny. I also think there's a lot of sugar in there's chlorine in
there is chlorine.
Semen.
You can taste it.
You can taste it. That actually helps to keep the...
I have to ask a question while we're here, but...
she just rubbed her face like as if she was rubbing cream in like a facial. Yes, what about it?
Oh, I was just wondering if... Mm-hmm. Apparently in the 60s, women used to actually do it. It's actually one of Jacqueline Suzanne, who wrote The Valley of the Dolls, and one of her books, one of the characters actually collects semen in a cup and keeps it in her fridge, and whenever she needs it, her facial, she puts it on, but she likes having a fresh man each time, so then that way it's fresh semen.
Fresh semen would probably be good, but you know what the semen would probably do is they might exfoliate a little bit because they're swimming away, yeah. But trying to find their thing, the egg. But also I think because of a little bit of acids in the ejaculate, and there's sugar in the ejaculate, which will also work as an exfoliant. There's bleach in there. HCl, hydrochloric
acid?
No, what is it?
I keep thinking retin A, but...
But there's quite a few things in it that would make your skin smooth.
So now
Vice magazine. I read an article in Vice magazine where they did. They had one for. They had a half the cheek was with ejaculate every day, and the other half was with cream. And they did this whole study.
Oh no!
It was fucking hilarious.
So anyway, in other words, getting a facial by a man might not be a bad thing.
I don't know, and apparently the British are brushing their teeth with it, so we don't. Nice. Whatever promotes better oral hygiene, I say go for it. But I think that there's enough sugar in the ejaculate that it may not really work so well. But apparently the zinc, the calcium, and the other minerals are shown to hinder tooth decay. So,
but is it true for guys? It's actually really beneficial, not the facial thing, but well, maybe it is. But this is supposed to give a happier prostate.
Absolutely. I mean, if you milk the prostate, right? Like if you got to empty that thing, right? You got to get it going. You got to juice it out. And get the, you know, the endocrine system, get that thing flowing, man. Yeah. And ejaculating is going to have a really profound effect. And I know that the Taoist and the tantric practitioners out there would like to beg to differ with me about sexual energy and wasting it by ejaculating. But they actually get you to cultivate the energy back into your body. So you're still emptying your body of fluids, not out of your body completely, but putting them back in through a different system. Mm-hmm. I think you're still going to be getting the benefit of squeezing that prostate, of emptying the glands out of old fluid and moving new fluid into them. I think that's going to obviously have a a profound effect. But what I thought was that these urologists see a relationship between if you don't ejaculate very much and cancer of the prostate. Mm. So there's this causal argument, and you know, to produce seminal fluid, the prostate, the seminal vesicles, they take substances from the blood such as zinc, citric acid, potassium, and concentrate them up to 600 times. So if there's any carcinogens present in the blood, would be concentrated as well. So those carcinogens sit there in the seminal vesicles, and they sit there in the prostate and maybe wreak havoc. So I can see that, especially if you're a smoker or you drink a lot or whatever, where you're going to have a lot of carcinogens in your body, the doctors are recommending that that you should be ejaculating up to 5 times a week.
Nice.
So, hey, if you wanted an excuse as to why, you know, masturbating every day, I'd say why not? So sounds like it works. So a robust appetite for sex. I mean, and if you have the physical ability to gratify it, it sounds like it might really be good
for
perfect health. And if you have something on the fritz where something's not working, then make sure you go see your doctor.
Definitely.
Okay?
Definitely.
But can you have too much? Can you have too much? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, apparently...
Apparently, no.
I'm just reading this.
I think, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I would say if you're going to have, you know, the chafing situation might be an issue. You know, your tissues kind of need a rest. Mm-hmm. If you're sore, don't play with it. If it hurts, don't fuck with it.
Just leave it.
Give it a day's rest. But generally, I think if it doesn't hurt, then you're probably fine having sex once a day or more or whatever.
That's true. Well, at least once a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's important.
Exactly.
As we're reading. Yeah.
What does it say? It says.
And apparently, there's no risk about women overdosing.
Yeah.
So, and it says, it's actually really good for your stomach and your buttocks, and it can improve your posture, which is good for all your organs if your posture is quite straight.
Ah. Now, I think it's interesting because it says, in purely physiological terms, if you're female, probably not. If you're male, you betcha. Hmm. That there's a little or no risk of a woman overdosing. Like you're saying, the firming. But for men, it's definitely possible to get too much.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. Drugs such as Viagra, they've given men far more staying power than what may actually be good for them. I agree. The penis is very resilient, but everything has its limits. Now, penile tissues, if they're hard for too long, mm-hmm. they can actually start to affect the penile tissue and cause damage. The penis is not meant to be hard for a really long time. It's meant to, like, fill with blood for a while, mm-hmm. 15, 20 minutes maybe, or half an hour, 45 minutes maybe, and then empty again.
Yeah.
So you'll notice even in a long sex session with a man that he'll get super hard and then he'll get less hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll get hard again, you know, whatever might be the case, you're doing the right thing, or, you know, he gets mm-hmm. his in his head, he's turned on more for a minute, he gets super hard again, then it wanes again. That's because the penis is supposed to have that. The tissues are not supposed to be super hard all the time, but with Viagra and these other Celexa or whatever,
it
makes them like extremely hard for a really long time, and it can damage the tissue. So, so you know, it can, especially with things like Viagra. So I would be careful. Use Celexa. Is it Celexa? I can't remember.
I think it's Celexa.
I can't remember the name of it right now. It's kind of clearing my head, but they have Levitra and other ones that are more mild.
Mm-hmm.
Viagra is a very extreme drug to take. I would not recommend it unless you've been told by your doctor that it's something you should take.
Mm-hmm.
There's other ones. I can't remember the name of it right now. Damn it. But that one that lasts sort of for 3 days, but you have to be sort of turned on, and it just gives you a better erection for longer. Levitra works that way as well. It's just a lighter. It just works a little bit in different mechanisms.
Wow.
So, but you still have to be kind of turned on. You have to be kind of involved mm-hmm. in it. And so... yeah, penis tissue, not meant to be. That's why you shouldn't wear a cock ring for more than 20 minutes. You got to take a cock ring off as well. People forget that. If you have a cock ring on, take it off after 20 minutes for sure, and empty your penis from its blood.
Yeah.
Allow it to be refilled again.
Wow.
Yeah, because it can damage the tissues, and the blood's not meant to be in there for a long time.
No, not at all.
So, what's going on here now? So, do we have time for another story on sex lives, and videotape? Caroline?
I think it's your turn.
Oh, God.
Or do you want me to tell my
guest story? I told the story about the guy at the GHB overdose.
Yes,
that was probably my scariest date that I've been on.
I told you about, I'd start telling you about the gas one, but not in the full detail. That was pretty scary. Yeah, that was like about 4 dates in. He came over to watch a movie, and I got a call right in the middle of it for one of my best friends crying because she and her boyfriend broke up. So I asked the boy, I'll just call him John for right now because I don't want to give his real name.
Okay.
And
John Doe.
John Doe. Is it okay if I go pick her up? So he said, sure. So I went and picked her up. When I got home, opened the door, the place smelt like shit.
Oh.
I thought it was cat, and so I looked in its litter box. The litter box was fine. It was clean. Looked under my bed, looked under the couch, couldn't find where it was coming from. He was on the computer, playing online games. Maybe he was looking at sex sites, who knows?
Cyber sex addiction.
And I asked him, I opened all the windows and was trying to air it out, apologizing profusely. I was very embarrassed about this whole thing. And then I asked him, do you want me to start the movie again? Do you want to watch it with us, or do you want me to call you when we get to where we stopped it? And he's like, oh, call me when we get to where we stopped. So I said, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we got to that part, I called him and I said, hey, John, come on over. So he walks in and the smell wafted in after him. It just stenched. And my best friend and I looked at each other over his head because we couldn't quite believe that this stench could come from a human, that he was actually pretending like nothing was happening. And then at one point, my roommate's alarm clock went off. So I had to, we were all under a blanket and I had to throw the cover off. And the stench just hit me in the face. It was like, oh, my God. To go turn off the alarm. Then came back in, lifted it up again, and the stench hit. Then around that time, poor thing.
Crazy.
Juliet, she was my roommate at the time. She came home and she opened the door. Holy fuck, what's that? And she started looking in the exact same spots I did, the litter box, under the bed. She's like, oh my gosh.
What happened?
Well, he, even after the movie was over, yes, we sat through it. Don't ask. I don't know.
Okay.
He was just like, well, I'm like, great, you managed to gaslight my best friend and my roommate. And he's like, well, at least I made them laugh. She was kind of depressed when she got here. I was trying to make her smile. And then he horked in a bag of potato chips.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Well, on that fine note, we're going to close the show.
Well, I hope we've offered you at least entertaining.
I don't know if it was super insightful
this week. And we will be back next week. And our guest next week is
Christopher Scipio, herpes and aphrodisiac
specialist.
It'll be very insightful.
It should definitely be very insightful, and I definitely want to check out some of those aphrodisiacs. So I'll definitely be back with another original juice box, and this week is definitely original, if not anything else. And in the meantime, please feel free to email us with your issues or questions about sexuality and relationships at julie@juiceboxradio.com. And it would be wonderful to know that you guys are listening, so stay tuned. And for Hans Kloss, Misery Hour next. Yes. Thanks for dropping into Juicebox Radio. And we'll be back. I'm going to see if I can do this. Well, Julia, you do it so sexy. Oh. So I want to do it just as sexy as you. Oh, we'll be back next week at the sexy hour. 10 o'clock. I can't do it as well as you. I try, darling, but I'm just not quite as sexy.
No, you are.
Even if I'm sitting here in my red sexy bra.
Yes, in your red sexy bra. And Hans Kloss, Misery Hour.
He's missing.
Host is coming, and he just called and said he's going to be 3 minutes late.
Is he
in a
erectile?
So you might want to put your shirt on.
Oh, no, anyway, he can see.
Oh, okay. He's a lucky, lucky man. So thank you. And yes, we will be back at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock next week. Happy Christmas to those people who are celebrating it. Winter solstice tomorrow.
And happy Hanukkah.
Yeah. We're in like third day of Hanukkah or something.
I think so.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's all lots of stuff going on, lots of lights being put up in people's houses, and it's all very cheery and lovely.
And
so
start thinking about your New Year's resolutions as well and plan to have more sex.
I have a few. Masturbating. I've learned a few things about masturbating in the last few months.
Really?
And I had an orgasm with my own hand recently, which I've only had 5 in my life with my own hand. So that was really cool. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah, next masturbation show, I'll share with you my secrets. But honestly, masturbation is the key to getting out to know what you want. And so, and the key to getting you to describe that to your lover so that you can have the best sex of your life. I'm telling you, it is the answer. So what we played at the half hour, by the way, was the Bang Gang.
We like the name.
Track. Find What You Get is the song we played. I always forget to do this. Whenever we play a song, I forget to say what it was.
That's all right.
And what we're going to do is we're just going to put that music on until Marion gets here. He should be here soon. So we'll play the rest of that CD, and I'm sure he'll be here to entertain you until 1 o'clock in the morning or whenever the show is on till.
Is
it on till?
That's
2 in the morning. Wow.
He's
a committed guy,
Marion. He's a great guy.
Fabulous. Anyway, so enjoy Bang Gang, and Caroline will see you in a couple of weeks.
Bang, bang. Bang. Just kidding.